This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
If only it was so simple. Only
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am 20 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
And bookish things. So that's what we're going to do today. Seems like our friend Georgia might not be able to join us today, but perhaps we'll see her later or hear from her later. But I'm excited to talk with you both. Haven't talked with Fatia in a while. Curious what you have to share today. Is it something you read, something you wrote, or something else?
I got like 5 books. I have no idea which one to read. Well, actually 2. This one.
They're books that you wrote?
Yeah, and this one. I don't know if I should do like Thanksgiving dinner or Spider-Man to the Rescue to save Christina. It's one I made up with my brother. This one's the one I am eating.
Why don't you read the Thanksgiving one? Because we just celebrated Thanksgiving pretty recently.
Yeah, I'll read that one. Thanksgiving dinner by the church and now. Chapter 1. At Thanksgiving, we eat turkey and be thankful for what we have. And this is the picture I drew. Rat and some rice and turkey. Because that's what we eat at Thanksgiving dinner. Some people celebrate Thanksgiving and some people do not celebrate Thanksgiving. And this is someone who doesn't. So this is someone who celebrates Thanksgiving and this is someone who doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving.
So the person that doesn't is the one that's frowning?
When people I draw like a little cat. Like I just drew, I made a mistake and I just decided to draw cat ears and
so it's a cat person.
Yeah.
They're mad that they don't get turkey.
When people celebrate Thanksgiving, they don't be like, oh, I hate Thanksgiving. People don't do that. They be nice even if they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And this is someone who doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. This is someone who does celebrate Thanksgiving.
Oh, so now they're both smiling.
Yep.
Because it turns out they're both nice.
And that's the end.
The end.
I try to make it sometimes really, very, very, really short because when it's too long, it kind of gets a little boring when it's like this, like 100 page or long. I really like that have like pictures in them and words. I love picture books the most.
Yeah, I love picture books too.
They're so nice and pretty.
It's sad our radio listeners can't see the pictures, but they are very nice. I like seeing them. That's nice though.
Thank you.
I think everybody on this call sort of celebrated Thanksgiving, but maybe do it differently, right? Because you said you have turkey and rice as your main food, right?
Yeah. We also have other things like salad, sometimes pasta, and that's all.
I didn't have much for Thanksgiving dinner this year because I'm vegan and some of the food was accidentally made with stuff I couldn't eat. So, and then one of the things that I could eat was in the oven, but they thought it was baking, but it was just on a warming setting, so it wasn't cooked by the time dinner was ready. So did not have much food, but I had the most important thing, which is cranberry sauce and family, but cranberry sauce, food-wise. That's all I really need. How about you, Amelia? What's your favorite Thanksgiving food item? Or is there anything unusual?
Stuffing. Stuffing is my favorite. And this year we made homemade biscuits with a recipe I found on TikTok, and they came out very good, and they were very delicious. But we made too many because we followed the portions on the video, and that turned out to be a portion that made 18 biscuits, and we are a family of three, so we made way too much. But they were very good. Some of them ended up getting
leftovers for days.
Yeah, by the time we would have eaten them, they were stale. Some of them got stale. We managed to eat like enough of them, but eventually they just turned into hockey pucks. But yeah, it was a good Thanksgiving.
Good. Yeah, there's so many, for people that celebrate a lot of holidays, there's a lot of holidays in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
As Fatia was mentioning, not everybody celebrates a lot of holidays.
Yeah.
And people don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrate Halloween, Veterans Day. I sort of celebrate most of them.
Yeah, same.
Anyway, as I've mentioned on the show many times, I'm horrible at Halloween, but I really like it. I really appreciate Halloween. I'm just really bad at costumes, but I'll give out candy if people come to see me.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your book, Fatia. It's been a while since I'd seen one of your beautiful books. I can't wait for someday for like people in the community to be able to see all of your artwork. We had a art calendar that we did a year ago with the library that had Patia's work both on the inside and on the cover. And our friend Georgia also had some art in the book, and Jada too. But we just were on the last page of the calendar. So it's my last hurrah with that kids' art calendar. That was a really fun project. Maybe we'll do it again another year. Too late to do it for 2023. We only have a few weeks left, seems. Can you believe it's already December?
I know. That's insane.
It's so crazy that it's December now.
We had Winter Walk. I wonder when we're going to get our first big snow.
I didn't get to go to Winter Walk. I was sick. Also, it was raining, so.
It was not raining by the time I went to Winter Walk.
Well, that's good.
And it was nice because it wasn't too cold. It was a little windy at times, but it was really nice. I had a great time.
I couldn't go to the Winter Walk because I think it was getting dark at that time.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. Well, that makes it good for the fireworks.
Yeah, we usually don't end up staying for the fireworks, but it's nice to see the like the lights and everything. Last year they had the new fire truck, I think, and it was up and it was really cool and really bright and really awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
But we did manage to I did get well enough in time to see It's a Wonderful Life at the Valencia Theater, which my dad was in. He was Mr. Martini. It was really awesome.
Wait, your dad was in it?
Yeah, my dad was in it.
Wait, and what?
It's a Wonderful Life.
How was at the he? Valencia
Theater.
Oh, it was like a performance of it?
Yeah, it's okay. A play as well as a movie.
Got it. I was like, yeah. Your dad's not old enough to have been in
that. No, he was cast in it, is what I mean.
Got it. That's fun.
Yeah, it was a play.
Speaking of plays, I missed Matilda.
Oh, I did too.
Which was recently put on by Upstage Productions, and I heard was fantastic. But I've been seeing the previews for the upcoming movie adaptation of the musical, and it looks really fun.
Yeah, I thought there was already a movie adaptation of the musical, it is in fact a movie actually.
It wasn't a musical one.
Yeah,
I don't think I don't know if I've seen the movie.
No, I don't think it was a musical either. I remember we watched it in Spanish for a Spanish class one time.
Funny.
So yeah, it wasn't a musical.
That's fun that you got to see that play with your dad.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Do you have anything you wanted to share this week? I know you've been.
Yeah, I pulled out a book I got for Christmas or Easter. I can't remember which. A while ago. I don't remember if it was last year or a couple years ago, but it's called. It's more of a picture book, and you might laugh when I say what it's called. It's called Pokey Anatomy, an unofficial guide by an artist named Christopher Stoll. It is about Pokemon, not like actually licensed by Nintendo. It's a fan-made book about the anatomy of Pokemon using really, really intricate, really detailed drawings of the kind of things you might see in a biology textbook of the muscular structure and skeletal structure of creatures that don't actually exist, but he illustrates like structures that might allow for them to do the things they do in the games or in the anime. And it's very, very detailed and very cool, and you can read about them, and it's all fan made. And it actually goes for a lot of money now because I guess it was a limited run that he did through his Instagram, this artist named Christopher Stoll. But they go for like upwards of $150 now. But I have one of the copies. My dad happened to notice it somehow, and he thought I would like it because I used to play those. I used to play the games. I used to watch the anime, and I thought it was very cool. And so I'm kind of like just looking through that, and it's very interesting. I was a fan of the ology books, you know, wizardology, oceanology, dragonology. So fictional textbooks are very much a genre of book that I enjoy. So I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying the illustrations. They're very, very good.
Sounds really cool. And right up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a number of those kind of books where they're like informational books about fictional things. And sometimes they're informational books about like what people believe about fictional things. Or it's like still informational, but it's like talking about things that are fantasy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're books that are just like pretending to be informational books. Like they're kind of like mockumentary.
Yeah.
Documentary. And those can be really fun. There's also a book, I forget, it's not like a textbook, but you're talking about this book reminded me of it, which sounds like something maybe you would like. There's a book, I think it's called Horror Store, and it's designed to look like an IKEA catalog.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it's a horror story.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
And I don't quite get it because I haven't seen it before, but it sounds like an interesting concept. And I've heard good things about it.
That sounds very cool.
Worth checking out, perhaps.
It reminds me of like the kind of marketing that the Blair Witch did before the movie came out, where it tried to make the whole thing seem real with like missing posters with the actors' faces on them and everything.
Yeah, I can't remember when I saw it the first time, I think I knew that it was fiction, but we were sort of questioning whether or not there was any truth to it. I don't know, like was it based on reality or something? I forget, but that was like one of the first movies as like an older teen as opposed to like a kid that I remember being like really freaked out by.
Yeah.
Like when I was little, I was like Jaws, Gremlins, those movies terrified mm-hmm. me. But that was my first like scary movie as a teen that I was like.
I saw in the year 2020 when the Spotlight Theater was doing their throwback movies and stuff that they do, like showing old movies that had come out a while ago. I went to see a double feature of Jurassic Park and Jaws, but we ended up having to leave halfway through Jaws because it started pouring rain.
Huh.
And yeah, I never finished it. I only watched the first half.
It started pouring rain, so you had to leave?
Yeah, it started raining. It was the drive-in theater. So
we were
inside in the back of my friend's pickup truck, and so it started raining.
I thought you had said Spotlight Cinema, so that's why I was really confused. I was like, might have said in the theater?
I meant the highway drive-in. I did say Spotlight Cinemas. That's not what I meant.
I was like, rainy day seems like a great time to go to a movie inside.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's usually when me and my dad end up going to Spotlight. But this is not Spotlight. I misspoke.
Oh, cool. So I have two books I'll mention, one that I haven't read and one that I have. They're both graphic novels. The first one is a middle grade graphic novel called Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Club Roll Call. And so it's the first in the series. And I'll read the description because I haven't read this one before, but it's by Molly Knox Ostertag, who I've read before and really enjoyed. And the illustrator is Xanth Buma. So here's the description. Middle school is a dungeon. At least that's how Jess sees it. Luckily, she and her best friend Olivia know how to escape into the sprawling worlds of their own imaginations. The two friends have always loved making up stories, first with little kid games of make-believe, and more recently with the fantasy role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons. When they play, Olivia runs the game as Dungeon Master and Jess is the solo party member, playing a take-no-prisoners lone wolf fighter of her own design named Sir Corius. But when Olivia wants to add new players to their group, Jess finds herself struggling to share their game and her best friend. Will their epic campaign withstand all this change, or has their adventure and their friendship finally come to an end? So that's Roll Call is the name of the first volume of what I assume will be, it is a series, but I don't know how many books are planned for it. But I hope this is really good. I've never done Dungeons and Dragons. I've always been curious about it, but just never tried it out.
Played a couple times. I'm in like the middle of a campaign right now, but I do not know how to DM or anything like that. How to dungeon master. We kind of just play as we go. It definitely depends on how seriously you take the game. Usually it depends on how much fun you have, in which we don't take it very seriously, so we have a lot of fun just kind of like bending the rules. There are no rules. There are no rules in Dungeons and Dragons, but some people think there are.
Yeah, it seems fun though. I would like, maybe I will try it someday, but I don't know. It would have to be somebody really like being like, Emily, today's the day. Like, go do it. But my nephew has really gotten into it recently, and I know my brother-in-law used to, at least. I don't know if he still does anymore, but so maybe someday it'll be a family activity. You can try it out. But anyways, I'm going to check out this book, partly just because I like the author, but also that I think it's cool that Dungeons & Dragons is so popular that I think it's great that they're making a comic that centers on that activity. And
there are quite a few comics, I think, that center on Dungeons & Dragons. There are some people that will make their campaigns into podcasts, and one of them that I'm semi-familiar with is called The Adventure Zone, and I believe that is a graphic novel now.
Well, I think this one seems like it's more about the friendships than like a graphic novel of a campaign, so that seems interesting to me, like that it might be a draw for people that are gamers in that way. But Molly Knox Ostertag is awesome. I really liked their series that started with The Witch Boy. That was a really good series, so I'm excited to check it out. The other book I thought I would highlight today is a graphic novel that I did read for teens called Flamer. It's by Mike Curato, and it's a book that's been under attack a lot by book bans in recent months across the country, which is really sad because it's a beautiful book. It's a fictional story, but it's based loosely on the author's experiences as a kid. And my mom lives in New Hampshire and had received a mailing during the campaign series or season leading up to Election Day that one of the mailings said something along the lines of, do you know what's on your child's school library shelves? And mentioned a bunch of books and compared them to pornography. And one of the books was this book. And I've read this book recently, and there's nothing pornographic in it. There's no nudity. It's, you know, I think it's an appropriate book for a teenage audience. And if you wanted to say any information was inappropriate, which I don't think it's inappropriate, but because it's real life, but there are some words in the book that, like, I wouldn't put this on a middle grade shelf. I don't think it's totally inappropriate for middle grade. So I wouldn't like ban it from middle grade library, but there is some language. I mean, it's dealing with teenage boys who are sometimes bullying people and, you know, calling them gay, but using a word that is not an appropriate word or a kind word. So there's some language in there, and there are some serious topics. So that's the other thing, is that it might not be for a younger reader for that matter, but I'm sure there are some younger readers that it would be just fine for. But it all centers on a character named Aiden, who is at summer camp, like a Boy Scout camp, I believe. I can't remember if it's specifically Boy Scout, but it's like all boys at the camp. And he has some friends at the camp, but there's also bullies, and there's just like general teasing around, you know, calling people the F word. And he doesn't feel like he is gay because he doesn't actually really like boys that much. He thinks they're kind of mean and scary. And, you know, he has his friends who are boys, but he's also recognizing that he's spending time with a friend named Elias, and he just can't stop thinking about him and has dreams about him and is sort of questioning why this is happening and what that means. So he's dealing with a lot during the summer at camp. And so it just follows him on that journey. And it's really a beautiful book. It's like sad at times and heartwarming at times. And it's also heartbreaking that this book is being attacked and being compared to pornography. It's just really disappointing that adults can't understand why this book is important and the difference between this and pornography. I think most people that say that haven't read the book, frankly, and are just saying what somebody has told them, which is incorrect. But yeah, it's a really great book, and I hope people will read it. That's Flamer by Mike Corrado, who has also written a lot of children's books and has come to the Children's Book Festival before. He's been there a couple times at least, I think. But he did like the Big Elliot books, which is about elephant and a mouse that are good friends that are featured in those books. He's done a bunch of other books too, but those are the ones that are jumping to into my head. But this was his first teen book. But yeah, so aside from that, I've been reading mostly picture books as usual. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading one adult book now as well that I'll talk about on the show if it seems youth appropriate.